Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
Welcome to another episode of Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I'm your host this time, Yink Allende. You guys know me at Sexy Prince. We have a very, very special guest on air this time. Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings. Say hi to everyone, Paul.
Hello, Sexy Prince. Hello, everybody.
We also have our good buddy, JR. Say hi to everybody. QB1.
What's going on, man? Once again, PA, thanks for joining us. We're really excited to have you on.
Yeah, no problem. I follow you on Twitter, man. I like your work.
We also have Jason Brown, at Brown Jason. Say hi to everyone, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? PA, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Jason, I just followed you on Twitter today, so if I unfollow you tomorrow, no hard feelings.
Yeah. We will always have this day, though. We'll always have today.
Now, we have... It's his return from being a newlywed, newly married. Miles Gorm is back, y'all. Say hi to everyone, Miles.
How's it going? It's finally, it's nice to be back in a place where, you know, there's English going on, so I love it.
I think we also even have wide receiver one's wife on air for a little bit. She can say hi, too.
She don't want that, so we're not going to do it.
Okay, she don't want that attention. All right, anyways, so just... in tradition, PA, we always have a random question today. I come up with a random question, and I actually got into this because there's a new Rocko's Modern Life that's supposed to be dropping pretty soon, and I even saw a trailer for a new Hey Arnold movie that's supposed to be coming out. So, random question of the day is, what was your favorite cartoon growing up?
You know what? I like Scooby-Doo. I'm 51 years of age, and when I grew up in Washington, D.C., I was really into Scooby-Doo, kind of got into Thelma a little bit for a weird reason, but outside of that, I'd say it probably was Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is a good answer. That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Think about what I was really, really into as far as cartoons. It was a combination of... When do y'all go first? I had to think about this. I didn't even think my own answer, my own question.
How can you not say the Rugrats? That's like one of the best. It's like one of the best cartoons. I know PA's looking like, what in the world is that?
Well, no, what I'm thinking of is my boy's 16, my girl's 14, so they probably were watching cartoons 13 and 11 years ago and stuff. And there was this weird psychedelic cartoon called Boobah, and it would always start by going Boobah. And it was these little puffy psychedelic things that kind of floated around. And it was like the kid's version of an LSD trip.
Hey, Miles, how about you, man? What was your cartoon of choice?
Man, I had a few. Obviously, I think Rugrats was up there. Doug was always a good one. Rocket Power. I think Rocket Power is probably my favorite, maybe. It was supposed to be about
I think Miles is taking an early marriage L right now.
Clearly.
I mean, yeah. My new friend Yinka is like, Miles, I was there for the wedding. I don't want to be there for the funeral.
She's more worried about us talking about football than she cares about us, what we like for cartoons.
Yeah, good woman, good woman. For myself, I think DuckTales would be... For me, anytime I was out sick from school, DuckTales was my cartoon of choice. So it looks like as a
sick.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to stay home so you can watch your favorite cartoons. But looks like as is tradition, we've lost the Sexy Prince once again. So we'll go ahead and jump into this interview with PA and hopefully Yinka's cell phone provider will allow him back in here at some point. And I guess, PA, as we're getting in, training camp is kicking off today. What are you or which players are you most excited about kind of seeing now that the players are actually hitting the field? And I guess what is what player that is under the radar are you most excited for seeing now that they put the pads on going into training camp?
Well, you know, on my radio show on KFAN, actually Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 3 days before I go to training camp, we're going to do extensive breakdowns on each facet of the team. Tomorrow, I think at about 11 o'clock, we're going to get hard into the defense because that's the identity of the team. I happen to think it's going to be one of the best defenses in the NFL overall this year. You know, the next step for Danielle Hunter is very intriguing to me. Linval Joseph, we know how great he is. Everson Griffin is at the peak of his career. I think Eric Kendricks, the middle linebacker, is going to be like all pro type consideration the entire year this year. The way Eric finished last year was very impressive to me. Of course, Harry the Hitman's incredibly good. Xavier Rhodes is sitting on a bunch of cash. But the defense going from good to very good to great, I think, is very, very important. When it comes to underrated, you know, that third linebacker spot, the one Chad Greenway played, I think that's very intriguing. Edmund Robinson, Emmanuel Lemur, and rookie Ben Gedeon, the kid from Michigan, are going to battle it out. And I think in a couple of Thursdays when we start playing the preseason games against Buffalo, I have a feeling Ben Gedeon is really going to open a lot of eyes, specifically in the run-stopping game. So I wouldn't be surprised if he won that job when they play the 4-3 base.
That's awesome. I am a resident Ben Gedeon fan, so I am also hoping that that's how things work out. And it looks like he's back, Saxy Prince. What's going on? Good to have you.
I'm sorry, y'all. I mean, it's not a show if my internet connection does not completely fade out. But yeah, it looked like you guys had already jumped onto it. I was a little skeptical as far as Ben Gedeon, but I would love to actually see him more when I go down to training camp, actually see him more live. I think that's what will, you know, maybe remove some of that doubt that I had pre-draft before we picked had that pick. As we move forward, PA, obviously we love the training camp battles, and we would be remiss if we didn't start to, you know, mention Sam Bradford as well as Teddy Bridgewater. There's some news that came out that Mike Zimmer had said about Teddy starting training camp on PUP. What are some realistic expectations that you are kind of looking at as far as, you know, maybe when Teddy can, you know, really start to practice as well as maybe when he is able to actually play?
Well, I'm a big Teddy guy, personally and professionally. And, you know, having called games for this team for 16 years, I've seen a lot. I mean, I've seen the classiest of people, and I've seen the biggest knuckleheads you'll ever come across. And Teddy is one of the kindest, classiest, and honestly, one of the more talented people with whom I've ever worked. Now, you know, I know there are some people who get down on Teddy because of the way the offense worked a couple of years ago, and you know, it wasn't super explosive and stuff, and Mike Wallace broke free several times, and Teddy either missed him or overthrew him in his rookie year. But we did win a division with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, and I know the defense and Peterson had a lot to do with that, but Teddy has the opportunity to be a really good quarterback. Now, when it comes to his progression, you know, my take always has been is that he would be on the PUP to start the season. And if I had to bet, and this is certainly not speaking for the team, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the backup quarterback somewhere middle of the season. Now, conversely, I do believe in Sam Bradford. And, you know, I thought Sam was good last year, but I didn't really appreciate how good Sam was until I broke the whole thing down at the end of the season. And, you know, behind that offensive line with basically no running game, to do the things that he did was pretty good. And Sam sitting on a good season. So if it's Bradford into Bridgewater for now, I think we're pretty good at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Sam obviously gets a lot of criticism because of, you know, obviously some more personal feelings centered around Teddy. He has kind of gained the love of Minnesota, but Sam Bradford does do a lot of things well that I think are a little bit underappreciated. But given the fact that he has received some criticism, what do you feel are the areas that you would like to see Sam Bradford improve on?
Well, he needs to be protected. And you know, he made all the dances last year playing 15 games, despite being battered several times. And I know injuries have been a problem during Sam's career. You know, Riley Reiff is going to be better at left tackle than what we had last year. you know, and I know, you guys all follow it really closely. Riley at right tackle for Detroit seemed to be a better right tackle than left tackle. But here, with the way Pat Shurmur is going to run this offense, he's going to be better than what we've had. You know, the right tackle situation, they gave Mike Remmers a lot of money. So I guess that immediately means he will for sure be the right tackle. In sneaky fashion, I like this Rashad Hill. And it's not just off what he did in the Chicago game last year. It's in seeing him this offseason, how his body has reconstructed and he's growing up and he's stronger in the upper body. So that all leads to protecting Sam, because Sam is a very accurate quarterback, and I think he can be very accurate deep. So I want to see Sam, you know, with and it's a lot of this is so new because it's a new offensive coordinator or a new system off last year that really we haven't seen it develop. So I want to see Sam be super accurate, intermediate, and deep, and make those quick decisions with that nice arm and not get hit.
Yeah, one thing as far as Sam that's been said about him is obviously his leadership skills, and if he's going to more insert himself. Do you see him being more, not just in charge, but having a little bit more say in what the offense is going to do this year, or do you think it's going to be more of Pat Shurmur's show, but Sam Bradford is, you know, there to make the calls and checks?
Well, I think that's a really good take because, you know, Sam last year, he got here late, obviously, via trade. And, you know, it's I'm not really sure Sam completely felt like he fit in the entire year. He's not a loud, boisterous kind of guy as it is. Now, having been here the entire offseason, I think Sam legitimately feels he can take more ownership in the offense and the way things transpire. You know, Shurmur and Sam were together with the St. Louis Rams back in like 2009 and 2010. So Pat has a deeply rooted faith in Sam, and it's not like he's going to let him call the entire game at the line like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but Sam will have flexibility at the line to do things that he knows are right. Shurmur and Bradford are really close, and Pat has a lot of trust in him. So I think that's a great take. You know, Sam does not need to be the guy that you see on the bench like Tom Brady going up and down, pointing to people, yelling at people, rallying people. Honestly, I don't think that's his personality, but I think he can lead by example. And the fact that he's a scholar of the game and he's a very smart guy, I think he can lead that way too.
I have a quick question for you, PA. Just real quick going off that, talking about the leadership and everything on offense, PA, do you have like a – because obviously Teddy doesn't do that same thing. Teddy's not that rah-rah kind of guy either. I know people really rally behind him. Do you have a guy in offense right now that you're looking at as kind of that like leader that you're seeing that, you know, that Sam might not be in terms of the boisterous, loud yelling kind of guy?
Well, I mean, if you're taking some losses, you know, and things are getting a little weird and you're thinking about, you know, like the guy who's going to jump in the middle and like be like, come in here. You know, I got one thing to say. This is what happens now and this is how we're going to do it. You know, I think Stephon Diggs has that to him. And now that Stephon is entering his third year and Stephon's had two really good seasons, Stephon's very comfortable being that guy. Kyle Rudolph's a quiet going kind of guy. I don't think Thielen's that guy. Treadwell hasn't done anything. Dalvin Cook's new. You know, Latavius Murray could be that guy too. I'm incredibly impressed with the guy who Latavius Murray is. He's just a very cool guy and you can tell he's a born leader. He could be that guy. McKinnon could be that guy in sneaky fashion. But I think off the way you phrased that question, I think probably either like Stephon Diggs, maybe Alex Boone, you know, because he genuinely cares a lot. He's been to a Super Bowl. Or maybe it'll be Bradford. You know, maybe Bradford will come out that way too.
PA, cool, you did mention, yeah, we appreciate your insight on that. You did mention Latavius Murray, obviously new addition to the offseason, as well as Dalvin Cook, Jerick McKinnon's coming back. So this is obviously a fairly new running back crew. How do you feel as if this crew will affect the team, as well as what do you think that their contributions are, and how is it going to be different than, you know, maybe years prior?
Well, I might be wrong with this, you know, and when I bring it up on my radio show, I get negative emails and tweets, and I understand where Vikings fans are coming from. because Dalvin Cook is the most talented back on the team. And I'm not an idiot. I know that. But he also doesn't know the NFL like McKinnon or Murray, and he doesn't know the plays like McKinnon. So I just went through an entire offseason of organized team activities and minicamp watching Jerick McKinnon as the number one back on the team. Latavius Murray missed everything. So when the veterans start next Thursday, Latavius has a lot of catching up to do. Dalvin Cook is amazingly talented. You know, from the minute I saw him in rookie camp, turn the corner and plant his foot and put the pedal to the metal. Dalvin's very fast, catches it very fluidly, bounces off guys. But the running game's going to be different. There's a cutback element to this running game that by design that we have not seen since Adrian Peterson has been here. You know, when Daryl Bevel was the offensive coordinator, he ran a West Coast offense that had a little power running game to it because that's what Adrian did well. Then Bill Musgrave came in, kind of did the same thing. Norv Turner came in. He wanted to go power running, vertical passing. And now Shurmur, the offense is unique, and the cutback element really suits Dalvin Cook. Jerick McKinnon's in a contract year. It behooves Jerick to have a really good year to get paid. And I think Latavius is the bulldog between the tackles. You know, and I think Latavius is going to get the lion's share of the work when they get inside the 10 and inside the 5. So a lot of backs are going to do a lot of different things. They all can catch the ball. Sam's very accurate with plays like that. Now, you know, when we do this time next year, and A, Yenka's internet connection is working, and B, we played 2017, when we do this, Dalvin Cook will be the guy. He's going to be the guy. He might be the guy eventually this year. But when we play New Orleans September 11th, if Jerick McKinnon is the first running back on the field, don't be surprised.
Yeah, it is crazy to see. I know that a lot of people, him being a second-round pick, have kind of penciled in Dalvin Cook as being that lead back right away. And even before that, Latavius Murray was definitely looked at as that potential lead back before they got Dalvin. But, Jerick McKinnon is kind of getting slept on as far as, you know, having the ability to, you know, be in this offense for the last couple of years, you know, being a very athletic running back. But then I guess I would ask you, knowing that, you know, we've been very, very run heavy over the last few years, you would say, do you think that there's going to be a transition that kind of moves away from that, given the fact that you now have running backs that can catch the football and having Stephon Diggs, you know, potentially even taking even a further step forward, or Adam Thielen or any of these other guys?
Well, if Jerick is the first running back in the New Orleans game, it doesn't matter who starts. It matters who plays most and who finishes. Like, if I think Ben Gedeon is going to be potentially a starting outside linebacker in the 4-3 base, he's still not going to play as much as Kendricks or Barr. Now, you know, when it comes to the way the offense is going to operate, it's and I'm not breaking news here. You guys are elite football minds. This offense has to keep the ball longer than it did last year. It has to be better in the red zone, and it has to be better on third down. Because if it can keep the defense off the field and protect that defense, this defense is sitting on an incredibly good year, and it's already good. But the offense has to better complement it. So, you know, when situational football arises, they're going to run it. They got three backs they can run it with, and I feel good about all of them. I like the quarterback. I like Diggs a lot. Adam Thielen earned every penny he just got. Now, you know, when we get to Treadwell, that is the proverbial elephant in the room, because I liked Laquan in the offseason last year. I liked him in the preseason last year, and then you couldn't find him with a searchlight. And then, you know, he might have been a little more nicked up than everybody knew. Laquan this season, in the offseason at organized team activities and minicamp, I loved it. Every time I saw Laquan get in the huddle, talked to everybody in the huddle. He was much more engaged with the entire process. And if you can get major productivity out of Treadwell along with Rudolph, they're going to throw the ball more than they're going to run it. Now, don't forget, Rhett Ellison's with the New York Giants. And even though Rhett didn't have a really great season last year off that Achilles at Lambeau to finish the 2015, Rhett still was the best pass protecting and run blocking tight end they had, and the best one we've had around here since Jim Kleinsaucer. So now you got David Morgan. You know, David is physical, but he's very young, and it's all new to David. So how much will that factor into it? I mean, you know, will they run less because their tight ends aren't really proven to be run blocking tight ends. Kyle Rudolph's a really good pass catching tight end, but run blocking and pass protecting need to improve with Kyle if they're going to do stuff like that behind him. So I'm not going to say it's going to be pass first, but they'll throw the ball and they're going to throw it a fair amount this year.
Yeah. And you had already mentioned as far as that being a, one of the factor being into improving that passing game has been the offensive line. Pat Elflein, chosen in the third round, very good out of Ohio State. But Nick Easton has taken a good line share of the first team reps at center. Do you see Pat Elflein by the end of maybe then a training camp start to the season as a center or even right guard? What do you kind of see happening with those interior battles?
It's an excellent question because, you know, when I talk to people who know more about it than us and they break down film a different way than we do, Nick Easton does a lot of things better than I think the naked eye would indicate. But they drafted Pat Elflein, and Zimmer said at one point during rookie camp that they're going to use him at center, not guard. So if I had to bet my money into the New Orleans game, I got Reef at left tackle, Boone at left guard, Elflein at center, Joe Berger at right guard, and Mike Remmers at right tackle. So, you know, it's a big training camp and preseason for Pat Elflein. You know, when you draft him where you drafted him, and the center spot here has not been that great over the last X amount of years, and he's an Ohio State guy. I mean, it's not like you have taken a center from some nondescript school and now you got to mold him into a football player. He played at Ohio State. And granted, he played guard when they won the national championship, but he's played in some very high leverage situations. So I think Elflein wins the job, but I think it's going to be a good dog battle.
Yeah, and I just had a question. Just staying on the subject of interior linemen, I think one of the most underrated, you know, training camp battles coming into training camp is that defensive tackle, the three technique position.
No doubt.
You have a guy like Tom Johnson who seems to be the leader in the clubhouse, but I really like Dayton Jones. You know, he was played out of position at Green Bay, but getting back to his more natural position at three technique, I think he's going to be a key contributor. He'll never be a starter, I don't think, but I think he's going to be a versatile guy at D tackle or defensive end. You know, they signed Will Sutton, who they seem to be really high on, and Jahlil Johnson. I think he was a great draft pick in the fourth round. Just what's your thoughts on the defensive tackle position and how it unfold?
I think it's a great point, you know, because the things I was hearing behind the scenes right after the season last year was they wanted more of a pass rush from the three technique spot. You know, it's not being a homer here. It's fact. Linval Joseph is the best 4-3 defensive tackle in the NFL. Shamar Stephen is much bigger in his upper body, and he's going to back up Linval. And Shamar quietly is a pretty good player. So now you got Tom Johnson, Dayton Jones, Will Sutton, and Jahlil Johnson. I think Jahlil's in a very difficult spot. And in fact, I think, you know, certainly not speaking for the team, but I think if they were in love with Jahlil, they would not have signed Will Sutton. So, you know, given where Jahlil Johnson was taken, I believe the fourth round, like first pick on Saturday or something, they're not going to cut him. I mean, he's not, if you put him on practice squad, you're probably going to lose him. So it's a very difficult situation here. Tom's very, very tough. Dayton was not a defensive end or a stand-up outside guy in a 3-4. He just wasn't. I mean, this is not Green Bay Packer trash talking. He just was out of position. So was Will Sutton in Vic Fangio's 3-4 for the Bears. For Sutton, you know, when he was at Arizona State University, I think in his junior year, he might have had 11 and a half or 12 sacks. And then he got drafted. They had him put on weight, and he slowed down, and he was not the same guy. He's cut his weight. I think he's lost somewhere between 11 and 16 pounds. He's a lot quicker than he was when he was with the Bears, and he is going to be a factor at the three technique spot. So they're better set at that three at that defensive tackle spot next to Linval. They're in as good a shape there as they've been in a while. You know, Sharif Floyd's the wild card here when it comes to the pup physically unable to perform. Honestly, with all due respect to everybody, when Sharif Floyd is healthy, he's better than all of them, especially with his quick twitch. You know, Sharif, too bad for Sharif. I mean, he misses two or three games every year, and now he has a bad situation where He had to miss all of last year, and he's still not right because Sharif's good, man. Sharif's a really good player. So maybe he'll factor into that, but I'm not sure.
I have a quick question about Jaleel Johnson and Shamar Stephen. And based off of, you know, watching the video of Rick Spielman with the defensive preview and everything, it really sounded like he'd coined Jaleel Johnson to kind of battle Shamar Stephen for that backup nose spot. I don't know if you know more a little bit more about that, but do you think that could be more of where Jaleel Johnson could contribute as a rookie and potentially, you know, taking Shamar Stephen's spot if he, you know, performs well enough?
Yeah, it might be because that three tech spot is deep. I don't see him beating Shamar Stephen out of the backup job to Linval, you know, and now when we get down to Mankato and the pads go on and they start banging, you know, maybe Jaleel is one of those guys who's going to jump up and everybody's going to be like, oh my God, he's unbelievable. Honestly, I just didn't from, you know, when I watch organized team activities in minicamp, you can't blanket your opinions on who's going to play a ton off that. But what you can do is you can see who's getting the reps with what unit. And Johnson just never mixed into a spot where it looked like he'd play a lot. So I think he has a lot of ground to make up.
So obviously we are talking about a lot of the backup positions because they seem to need a lot of filling on both sides of the ball. Specifically with the defensive back position, you know, Harrison Smith, Andrew Sandejo. But really after that, we do have Anthony Harris or, you know, J'Ron Kearse, but that's not really solidified. And even in the quarterback position, we have Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, Terrence Newman. What do you feel as far as what the Vikings can do to more solidify the defensive back position?
Big training camp for Mackenzie Alexander. You know, Mackenzie looked good in training camp last year. I thought he played pretty well in the preseason. Then he got beat out of his job by Captain Munnerlin. Honestly, with all due respect to Captain, because I love Captain, he's a really sweet and cool guy. Mackenzie Alexander is a more athletic player than Captain Munnerlin, but Captain has better football smarts than Mackenzie. He just sees it more quickly and diagnoses it more quickly. That needs to jump up with Alexander. He needs to be more quick twitch than he was last year. If it doesn't work, then Terrence Newman probably will play the inside spot. Now, Trey Waynes, you know, Trey needs to start as an outside corner. It's time for him to start and pretty much play every snap. Trey's physically gifted. He's incredibly fast. He had a couple of picks last year, but this needs to be the year Trey jumps up and does it the way Zimmer wants it to be done. Xavier is sitting on elite status. Harrison Smith is already a Pro Bowl kind of guy. That safety spot, J'Ron Kearse's performance on special teams at the end of the year last year was extremely good. And J'Ron had his problems early in the year, specifically that Monday night game against the Chicago Bears. Also, Kentrell Brothers really started to play well on special teams last year. So those are a couple of guys who will be on the team. I don't see Brothers playing much linebacker because he backs up Kendricks. But Kearse, Sandejo, and Harris are going to battle for that safety spot. And it's a wide-open race. Now, Andrew is more football savvy than the other two, in my opinion. And he's been around longer, so he sees it more quickly. I thought Andrew would be better than he was last year as a safety. I really liked how he finished 2015. And I thought he'd be a little better at safety than he was last year. That spot's wide open. I'd like to see J'Ron Kearse win it. Because the way he's built with his speed, that he can be one of those hybrid safety linebacker types that you can use, that Zimmer likes to use. When Zimmer was in Cincinnati, he'd have games where he'd play three safeties a ton of the game. George Iloka, Reggie Nelson, and another safety. And with Kearse, I'm not saying he's Deion Buchanan or Shaq Thompson-like, but he can be that hybrid safety linebacker, and that would give you a lot of flexibility, but he's got to win it.
Speaking of Zimmer, I know that we've talked about a lot of the players and how they're going to evolve and change, but we've also talked amongst ourselves about how we want Zimmer to more step into a CEO role, where he is kind of taking a little bit of a step back and letting George Edwards and, you know, Mike Prefer and, you know, some of the other coaches take more of a role so that he can avoid some of the mistakes that he had made as a head coach. Where do you see Zimmer making the most improvement for this year?
What mistakes did he make as a head coach?
I know as far as, you know, some of his decision making, I think Detroit was one of the
Oh yeah.
Calls that he was kind of criticized for, and some, you know, some situational things where it's not necessarily his fault, but the fact that he's so involved with the defense and all aspects of that doesn't allow him to step back. So I'm just curious of what you think is going to be where his role is going to evolve for this
season. Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Mike actually spent a lot of time this offseason on his own going over game management. And in fact, there was a there were a few Sundays ago, man, where there was a Vikings women's pro day or some type of Sunday event they had at Winter Park. And I got there early to MC it. And you know, like 8:15 in the morning on a Sunday during the time where there was no mini camp or anything, and Zimmer's truck was there. And he was in his office going over game situations. So, you know, this is very important to Mike, some of the stuff you're talking about now. Honestly, and you know, I don't have a problem with George Edwards calling the defense. What I do have a problem with is that Zimmer is an elite defensive coordinator. And I don't think anybody can dispute that. The timing of his calls, the way he sets things up in quarters one and two to unleash them in quarter four, and you don't see it's coming. I just think Mike, I don't think Mike would be comfortable not calling the defense. And he's extremely good at it. So I want him to continue to do it. When we start playing preseason games, we'll see if George calls the defense at all. Shermer will handle the offense. Prefer will handle the special teams. Maybe Mike will bounce around more and have a little more of a say in the way things go offensively or defensively. Mike is an elite leader. He's very good at getting everybody around him in coach yet fatherly fashion to get them to believe in the way he wants it done. And he works so hard that I think a lot of people around him feel guilty if they don't work as hard as him, like they're letting down dad. So if somebody else calls the defensive plays this year, then so be it. We'll see how it works out. But I'm a fan of Mike calling the plays.
Jason, JR, Miles, do you guys have any other questions for PA?
Yeah, just a quick one. I know there's a lot of notable names. You talk about Treadwell, you know, a guy like Diggs, of course, Teddy and Sam. Who's one name that a lot of people aren't really paying attention to that you think can turn heads at training camp?
I think one is Rodney Adams, the wide receiver from South Florida. You know, when I watched a lot of stuff he did at South Florida, honestly, I hadn't heard much about him up to the draft. I'd heard of him, but didn't know much about him. So then we took him. So then I broke down a lot of stuff he did at South Florida. A lot of it was Cordero Patterson-like, a lot of bubble screens, a lot of reverses, a lot of short stuff, quick twitch off the line of scrimmage. Then I watched OTAs and minicamp, and I saw a lot of intermediate to deep stuff. So I think Rodney's going to open a lot of eyes at training camp, a lot faster than I thought. There's a defensive end from LSU, and his name is escaping me now.
Tayshaun Bauer.
Thank you. Keep your eyes on him. I love how he's built. I've had people tell me that he plays like Danielle Hunter, and that I know it's a convenient comparison because they both went to LSU. But, you know, the with all due respect to the LSU coaching staff, because clearly, I mean, it's a top-flight program. But Danielle Hunter at LSU was not the Danielle Hunter that's in the NFL. And, you know, Andre Patterson might be the best defensive line coach in the National Football League. And the what he gets out of players is unbelievable. Tom Johnson has had the best run of his career led by Andre Patterson. Shamar Stephens, seventh-rounder from UConn, thanks to Patterson and his assistant Robert Rodriguez and the way they coach, I mean, Shamar is going to play a lot this year. The LSU undrafted guy, I think he's extremely talented, and I think he fits what these guys want to do really well. So that is a way off the radar, underrated name. And not only who I think is going to do well at Mankato, but I think might make the team. I mean, the active 53. So Stephen Weatherly, you know, the defensive end in front of him now, Steven's got to step up this training camp so this LSU kid doesn't pass him. And when it comes to like secondary names like that making the team, special teams is very important. And I bring it up a lot on my radio show, you know, even though a lot of Vikings fans think it's boring because it's the nuts and bolts of special teams. But this team lost Red Ellison, Matt Asiata, Audie Cole, Zach Lyne, guys like that who played a lot of key roles on special teams. So those spots are open. And Bauer or Weatherly, C.J. Hamm, Kentrell Brothers is going to play a lot more there. I think Jayron Kearse is going to have a major role on special teams. You know, if you can jump up and open eyes on special teams, then you will make this team as a backup in a certain spot. And that could be Bauer.
PA, real quick, too, you've talked about some of the under-the-radar guys. What are your thoughts on Jack Tocho out of North Carolina State? I know I've been a big fan of his. I've talked to from Vikings Corner, who's a big fan of his, and he thinks he's going to turn some heads. So I want to get your thoughts on him.
Honestly, I do not know much about him, and I'm excited to watch him in training camp. You know, I didn't really see anything from him in minicamp or organized team activities that jumped out at me where I went out of my way to talk to somebody about him. But he could be in that spot, you know, when you're looking at that safety spot next to the hitman, you know, that maybe that'll be a name that jumps up and passes everybody. But off his game at North Carolina State or through rookie camp, there's just been nothing at this stage that's really jumped out at me.
PA, the rookies and some other people have reported for training camp. So we have a bunch of people at Mankato. So I think I would be remiss to not ask you, who is your early pick for Mr. Mankato?
What's Mr. Mankato?
It's basically it's a little award that we give to anybody who's really is either picked after the third round or an undrafted free agent that's going to show up and, you know, kind of, you know, probably be the best player coming out of training camp. Stephon Diggs was that guy a couple years ago. Okay. Adam Thielen year before, but
so it's got to be a rookie.
It's got to be a rookie or a guy who's is in his second or third year who was in a top, I think, fourth round. So like,
got it.
Fourth round and worse.
I got two names for you. One we talked about earlier, Ben Gedeon. Ben Gedeon is Mike Zimmer's kind of player. Downhill, run-stopping, super tough, very smart guy. I think when we start playing Buffalo, Seattle, the Niners, and Miami in the preseason, you're going to hear about Ben Gedeon a lot. My other one would be Isaac Frichty, the wide receiver from Caledonia. Because for Frichty, he could be one of those guys who steps up on special teams. Believe it or not, if they were to line everybody up on this team at the 100-yard line or at the zero and go all the way down 100 yards, Frichty might win that race. He's one of the fastest guys that I've seen around here in a long time. He's very tough and he's very smart and he's been around for a while. So I'd say Ben Gedeon or Isaac Frichty.
Our good buddy Jason actually wrote an article not too long ago, and he's kind of turned the eyes on to some people. Bucky Hodges was his pick, and I kind of feel the same way. A few other guys feel the same way. He's definitely a player that we are kind of looking forward to as far as his athletic profile just being so high, being a steal in the sixth round. So that's where you're really getting our selection from.
Well, we'll see. You know, I don't from what I know about Bucky in his collegiate career, he's not big on run blocking or pass protecting. And to be a tight end who plays a lot on this team, you're going to have to do both. Now, he's fast and he's tall and he can catch the ball. So maybe Bucky is the type of gamer that jumps up in these preseason games and, like, snatches everything. But remember, Treadwell and Mackenzie Alexander looked pretty good in the preseason last year and then didn't do anything in the regular season. So I got Rudolph and David Morgan far clear from Bucky Hodges when it comes to actually playing in regular season games.
All right, PA, well, we know that Game of Thrones starts in a few short minutes, so we don't want to take up too much of your time. It's been an honor for you to come and join our Climbing the Pocket podcast here. We appreciate you coming out. Your insight on everything is very much appreciated. I'm sure the guys feel the same exact way. So, again, we don't want to take too much of your time. So, again, thank you for coming out.
Hey, yeah, you guys are awesome, man. Seriously, you guys are awesome. I follow all of you on Twitter. Best of luck to Jason with your marriage. JR, continue up the good work from North Carolina. Yinka, thanks for reaching out to me. And if you guys would like to do this more frequently, man, I love helping out guys like you guys. You work hard. You're looking for a chip chair and a chance. And I can tell all of you care about the team and like reporting on it and like formulating opinions and everything. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure Jason and his marriage will be fantastic. Miles is actually the newlywed. recently got.
Jason has it right.
Yeah.
Jason has it right now. but again, thank you, PA, and have a good rest of your night. Enjoy Game of Thrones. And we will do this again very, very soon.
Hey, Miles, make sure to kiss your wife on the cheek for being so nice to let you do this for 40 minutes.
I definitely will. Thanks a lot, PA.
See ya.
Thanks, PA.
Thanks, PA.
Bye. Thanks, man.
All right. Well, that interview was fantastic. We definitely appreciate PA coming out and listening to the Voice of the Vikings. JR, Miles, Jason, you guys have any upcoming projects that you want listeners to kind of look out for?
Yeah, just some, you know, some training camp storylines and tidbits going into the, you know, training camp is finally here. And I'm just glad we finally get to talk football and just get to see guys back on the field officially with the pads back on again.
Miles, Jason, you guys got anything in the pipelines?
I've got Game of Thrones to go watch, so nah.
Yeah, I'm getting dressed up right now. Everyone coming out. Miles, JR, Jason, myself, Saxy Prince. Hope y'all enjoy the show. And yeah, give us likes, reviews, retweets, all that stuff. We'd love to hear from you, any feedback that you can provide. All right, y'all have a good night. God bless.
Go ahead and wrap this thing up. Record the outro so we
Yeah. Oh yeah, my bad. Totally forgot about the outro. My bad, y'all. My bad. I was like, what are we waiting for? Alright, I'll give us that.